Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
High school, home of the Bombers. Please note that our options have changed. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it now, or...
Hello.
Hello. Is this Todd Gregg?
This is. How are you today?
I'm doing awesome. I'm really excited to talk to you. You're like so smart.
I try.
Oh, and we kept missing each other, so I'm really excited.
I know, so yeah. My life is a little crazy busy. So.
Yeah, tell me about it. What's going on? Or can you elaborate?
Well, other than teaching six classes, four of which are two different AP preps, I've got sophomore class sponsor. I've started a history club at our school to have a Rho Kappa History Honor Society through and get kids participating in History Day. Our psych ed tech, trying to get people involved in Google. Keep doing all kinds of outside professional development for myself. And trying to be a husband and dad to three kids.
Yes. There's always that, too.
Yes.
Well, so tell us your name, job title, and how many years have you been in the biz?
Okay. Todd Gregg. I am a history teacher at Midwest City High School. And this is the... I started halfway through the semester, halfway through the year. So this is finishing up the end of my third full year as a teacher. January will start year four. So.
Awesome. And are you traditionally certified, alternative certified, or emergency certified?
I am alternative certified. I actually need to turn in all my paperwork, my final test results and everything to get switched over to a standard certificate before the end of the semester.
And so what were you doing beforehand?
I spent, starting when I was in high school doing some things, I spent almost two full decades in ministry. A lot of that was not full-time, was bivocational, part-time, worked in business management and professional sales management as well during that time.
Awesome. And so you don't have a huge backstory in EDU, but like, how did you get involved? What brought you this direction?
To education. My parents were educators. My dad was a coach and junior high coach and teacher. And then back as far as my earliest memories, he was elementary school principal, then my superintendent. And then he was in the career tech, Votech system as a superintendent. For most of my growing up, my mom was an elementary teacher and then also at various points taught high school. I think she taught junior high English for a brief period of time, but she also taught high school choir and music. And then I married a high school English teacher. So my whole life I've been had a connection to public school and public school educators.
That is wicked awesome. So tell us, you know, what was the name of your chat and what were your intentions for this chat?
I don't remember the full name.
It was Teaching Through Student Inquiry.
My intentions are, is I think one wonderful thing about being a non-traditional into the classroom is in the business world, a little bit in ministry too, you have to keep reinventing yourself. You have to see what works, see what doesn't, and you're always reflecting, always trying new things. And so I've never had any inhibitions about trying crazy things in my classroom.
Awesome.
And sometimes things work, sometimes they don't, but always trying new things. And teaching through inquiry is one of those. Last school year, I stepped out on the limb and taught AP World History. And I'm not a world history guy. My bread and butter, my passion is U.S. history, especially post-Reconstruction up until World War I, that progressive era, Gilded Age. I love that time period.
Yeah.
But I knew there was a need in our building for someone to teach the AP World, and I was willing to step out and do it. And I had to make it much more skills-based, much more student-centered to be able to handle the curriculum for the year. So I tried a lot of things, and one of those things was having my students learn to ask good questions. And each week, I believe it was every Tuesday last year, we had a Socratic-style discussion in my classroom, and my students were in charge of submitting two questions each week, and I would pull from their potentially 180 different questions to pull our questions for the discussion. And I saw the beauty in that. I saw them be able to find out the content on their own through that. And so that was kind of my intent was just to explore how teaching content and teaching skills through students learning to ask questions themselves can really drive a deeper learning experience for the students.
Yeah. So I want to switch to where my students are asking more questions, but we are totally digging the podcast. This is the third year for podcasting, but the second year that it's been revolving around history. And there's a couple new additions of the students, but most of them are the same. So we switched to world history this year, and it's just kind of fun. And we're doing the same time period, but in each of the different areas across the world. And so we're moving, you know, we just did Byzantine this last week. We wrapped up, and it's fun to hear about it as it, because I'm the same way. I'm a U.S. history person, and so moving to world has been tricky, but super fun, because you just get to see how all of the world is interacting in these same time zones, you know, time frames. Yeah. That's what I meant.
And I wish I knew world history more, but it's just not something I never really had a world history class in high school. And then in college I went to OBU, and they have their huge Western Civ program that everything revolves around, but it's all Western European,
right?
Focused into what leads into America. So I've never really studied the history of China or India or sub-Saharan Africa. And there's some fascinating things there that I think if I taught it long term, I would really start to love just as much as the American stuff.
Yeah, but it's so vast. And like with America, you know, we've just got a couple hundred years to work through.
That's what I tell my students this year, because I moved up with my students to AP US this year. And I'm like, guys, there was so much last year that could be on that test. This year, there is a lot, but it's 250 years.
Exactly.
Not 15,000.
Exactly. That's awesome. Well, did you have a favorite question going into this chat?
I think I was looking through the questions right here. I think one of the ones I really liked is it was question five was, and it wasn't really a question, but it was asking people to like go back and like search through answers to question four, which was, what are the potential drawbacks from inquiry-based instruction? And question five was challenging people to go find someone that had mentioned a drawback or obstacle that they had overcome, and just to share how they had overcome it. Because I've seen some other people do that in recent chats, and I really like kind of that learning from each other happens in there, where we learn best practices that are happening in other rooms and learn how we can implement that in our own the next day.
Well, we've already recorded the podcast, but I said that too. That was my favorite question of the night. And not question, but I'm with you. I love it whenever we're giving each other advice and it's not like preaching to the choir or, you know, some sort of soundboard, but I like it when we can be constructive with each other.
Yeah. And I've learned a lot just in the last year. I think I started participating just about at the beginning of last school year. And I've learned so much that it's expanded what I do in my classroom.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's awesome. Were there any answers that stood out to you particularly?
I don't remember, and I was trying to look back through that in prep for this.
I asked the tough questions.
Yeah, you do ask the tough questions.
It's totally fine. You did, I mean, that was kind of a put you on the spot.
It is K kind of, I don't know if intimidating is the right word or not, but when the state minority leader or the state superintendent, or not minority leader, majority leader of the House or the state superintendent is answering your questions.
Right.
That's kind of a neat thing sometimes. It's like, oh, they're responding to me, so that's cool.
I know. There are times, like just this week, Kristen actually put me in a tweet with some really amazing people, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
I get a little schoolgirl sometimes, so.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, so what are some of your passions? Not necessarily education, but they can totally be in education.
Two, just kind of non-education, is my kids, my wife and my kids. Very passionate about spending time with them, hanging out with them, learning what they're interested in. My oldest son is 7, and I think I was kind of just a little bit too old for the Pokemon phase or anything, but he's into it, and I've learned so much just hanging out with him and watching shows with him and reading books with him. Kind of my other big passion outside of education is Chicago Cubs baseball.
Okay.
It's kind of funny. Our choir this week started doing a fundraiser, and one of the things they're selling are tumbler cups, and they have Major League Baseball ones. Like, I think there was like a beeline as soon as students left the choir room to my door to try and get me the first one to try and get me to buy a Cubs cup from them.
That's so awesome.
Passions in education. I'm really passionate about student-centered learning. And I kind of went through that shift last year. The year before that, I had taught on level 11th grade U.S. history. And I loved teaching it, but I think my classroom that year was teacher-centered, and because I could look at what we're covering that day, the standard, what we're looking at, and just glance at the textbook for like 5 minutes and talk for 50 minutes.
But like that was your first year, right?
First full year, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's easy to go that route.
And it was easy. But then as I started looking at last year where I didn't know the content as well, I became passionate about seeing those skills develop in students and putting more of the learning on them and kind of being more of a guide and a facilitator than just the keeper of the knowledge.
I like that you're 3.5 years in and you are already moving to more of a student center. I mean, it takes a lot of people much longer to realize that that's the way to go. And I like hearing just like kind of how you've evolved in such a short time.
Yeah.
Who do you look up to in education? Like, who do you go to for inspiration or for advice?
I ask my wife quite a bit. She's now left the classroom and is our instructional coach and Title IX coordinator for our building. I ask her for a lot of advice. A lot of things I will call my dad because he hasn't been in a classroom since, I think, 1979. But he's been in administration since 1980 and still can't seem to retire as an interim superintendent places. So he's got 40-plus years in, and I go to him quite a bit. There's a few other teachers in my own building. I've had a great opportunity to get connected through some summer seminars and other things with teachers from around the United States. And so I've gotten to build very quickly a large PLN that I can text or Facebook or tweet and ask questions. And then also just pretty much the entire Oakland community. I will watch sometimes that feed on my tweet deck and see things throughout the day. And I may not even retweet or comment, but it might be something that, oh, hey, I can try that tomorrow in my classroom.
Yeah.
And just like there's a lot of, I can find a lot of inspiration just through that, following the hashtag at times.
Our hashtag is like one of the most active, and I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any parting words of wisdom you want to give Okla Ed or anybody you want to shout out to?
I think one word of wisdom, and I think this kind of might be reflective of how busy my life is just we all need to remember to leave work at work sometimes and rest and relax and be present with our families, because the work's still going to be there when we come back to it, but our kids are getting older and we'll miss other opportunities.
Man, that's so true. I mean, this year, I moved back into administration, and it was a big worry of mine, because I know last time I was in administration, I was trying to prove myself, like, for a really long time, and I am very much being intentional this year, and so I like that you're saying that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with me. I hope you don't hate your voice when it comes out and you listen to your episode.
All right, I will. I think that's one beauty of having been in the ministry before is if you want to be good speaking in front of crowds, you learn to watch yourself or listen to yourself and critique it. So you have to get over that dislike of hearing your voice early on.
Gosh, I still hate it, but yes. All right. Well, you have a great day.
All right.
Bye.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron. You too.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.